This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
I need stories from Campy's wedding. I was having fun on Friday. It's one of the only times I had fun on Friday, is when I said Lawrence is not here today because he's at Rick Camp's wedding. I think I might have said it 14 times because it was just so fun to say.
Lawrence Holmes is at Rick Camp's wedding. Lawrence Holmes, who is off today because he's at Rick Camp's wedding. Lawrence is at Rick Camp's wedding. Lawrence is at Rick Camp's wedding. Lawrence Holmes off today for the wedding of Rick Camp.
The crack producer. The crack man. Rick Camp.
We wish we had a recorder going at the time because I believe, was it Jay Lowoski is what he called him?
Jay Zalowoski.
I thought I heard a Jay Wazowski, like the Monsters, Inc. movie.
Maybe. Maybe.
Jay Zawaski is the host of I'm Fat podcast. Are you fat or is that just the title?
I am absolutely fat.
Jay gave a beautiful speech.
Aw, it's lovely.
Yeah, man. So shout out to Campy and Sam.
The White Sox also introduced Luis Robber after he officially signed his $26 million contract. Ken Rosenthal reports 12.5 of that million will be paid in the first year, and Robber will start in the Dominican League as he hasn't played since last July. Rick Hahn yesterday at the press conference talked about how Marco Patti was so in favor of Robber that he was willing to give up his draft, deal with the consequences. It's not that hard to say. To deal with the consequences.
What is going on?
I don't know. I think I don't know if I like just like had a stroke or something and I didn't know it. But anyway, Marco Patti wanted Robber.
Are you okay?
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
He's giving him the business down there. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We got you until 6 o'clock. We are going to be doing the midday show tomorrow. For logistical reasons, we got to get on a plane, or two separate planes, actually, so we can get out to Vegas to do the afternoon
we
show.
We get it, Lawrence. We're a lot. That's all right.
Well, I'm just saying.
I felt the same.
You don't want to fly with us.
I'm trying to get on my own plane,
too. Yeah, we get
it.
You'd rather go down to Midway. We get it.
Yeah, I'd rather take a nice little easy stroll down Garfield Boulevard straight to Midway.
Quick question for both of you guys while we're on flights right now. Do you think this one will land?
Yeah. I just checked into mine. I'm very excited. Got an A group. Let's go.
I don't understand why we didn't go with the Lawrence Holmes Midway plan. I mean, what the hell were we thinking?
I don't know why you don't fly out of Midway at all, Speaks. You're way closer to Midway than O'Hare.
I often do, but this time, like, I guess it's that part where I'm just kind of letting the company take us. Love you, company. Good job taking us to Vegas. Thank you. So I'm letting them drive the bus on that. But Midway's just so much easier. You did say two separate planes, and for the record, we're not side by side. I had that thought as soon as you said it. I pictured us like just in our two private jets, side by side, refusing to fly together.
No, that's not it. It is probably important that there is some separation, though. You know, that you have two different planes going, and then you know we'll land, and the circuit people will come pick us up, and that's always nice. And I guess I'll just have that limo all to myself. Yeah,
it's kind of like Air Force One and Air Force Two. Like you never have the president and the VP on the same plane.
Correct.
Is that what you mean?
I'll be on Air Force Two tomorrow, and then
you're on Marine One tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I like that.
You're
better.
On Marine One.
I like that better. I'm on Marine One tomorrow, and then I get there circa, and then the nice people pick you up. And then you get to hear all sorts of stories who have been transported from the airport to Circa.
Uh-huh.
And whatever you want to drink is right there in the back of the limo because that's how Circa rolls.
I told Tanny today when I got in, like, dude, the first thing I thought about this morning was the Circa limo tomorrow coming off the airport, coming out of the airport. It was the first thing I thought about.
They do it right.
They got all those free water bottles you can just take.
Yeah, definitely the water bottles.
Yeah, it's definitely the water bottles. It's not
that's
a battle
a
to see who can
Jack.
Drink. See who can drink the most Jack between airport and Circa. And we got there. Well, I got three drinks in. Good job, everybody.
Dude, you're going to see my girlfriend Kaylin can put away some whiskey. She might outdrink me in the limo tomorrow.
Well, and the thing is that usually it's a pretty quick ride. But by the time we all get there, there'll still be a little bit of traffic. It's perfect for that to deal with. And then we'll be doing our show from Stadium Swim Thursday and Friday. We're going to kick off baseball season. Someone was laughing at me in the mob. They're like, wait, so you're gonna have NCAA tournament basketball. You're going to have the start of Major League Baseball season. The Bulls play the Lakers tomorrow night too, right? I got all that. And it's like Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday's a big one.
And I'm going to have to ask someone about the White Sox.
Wait, when does DePaul play in that adorable crown tournament?
We still got another week, Speaks. We still got another week. But I am committed to going to the final if they make it.
Man, I love it. I want that for you.
If they make it to Las Vegas and play in that final, I will call Derek Stevens and the people over at Circa and be like, hey, I'm coming through. Because DePaul's playing for the crown of the frown or... The Sussex crown or
something.
Yeah,
they're trying to be number 113, I think it is, after the 64 in the tournament of 68.
I mean,
the other two.
We'll take it.
8 o'clock.
Because, what we have been is about 320th. So.
I'm looking forward to that moment on Thursday when every bit of the big screen at Stadium Swim is taken up by either baseball or college basketball, and every available TV is being used, and there's no White Sox. And you're sitting over on a chaise lounge with your feet in the water watching the White Sox on your phone.
I made a realization, Speaks, while watching college basketball this weekend, and there were a lot of interesting like coaching matchups. The headliner was Coach Cal versus Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. And I think in some spaces, Rick Pitino has gotten himself a bit of a glow up over this past season because St. John's won 30 games. They were excellent until they weren't. And I do think that's interesting that Pitino, as one of the game's greatest tacticians ever, got beat by a guy who people don't think is a great tactician with tactical basketball. So shout out to Coach Cal for being able to do that. But it occurred to me while I was watching games, and I don't know if your experience was similar. I think college basketball, whether we're talking men's or women's, is the last place for the narcissist coach.
The superstar narcissist coach.
Because think about like what we've seen with Ben Johnson. We haven't seen a lot of, and maybe this will change, we see him on the actual sidelines. But we haven't seen a lot of me. We've seen a lot of we. And with Craig Counsell, He doesn't even know our names. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess I do a radio show or whatever.
Is that offensive?
No, it's par for the course. It makes sense to do that. Not a narcissist. Billy Donovan, the farthest thing from a narcissist, and obviously has the connection with Rick Pitino. You can go and look up the Rick Pitino, Billy Donovan coaching tapes where he teaches you to swing the ball low after the ball fake and then keep your head up while you take the shot. Perfect form by Billy Donovan.
Now Billy's the middleman on the fast break. Coming at the defender, he's going to knock him back, change his pace, and now he's going to point that shoulder and place it in jail.
Billy Donovan on the station tomorrow morning, by the way, with Mully and Haw.
7:25. So we can react to that because we will be the midday show tomorrow.
Yeah, and the Bulls are in a very nice moment, having won 8 of 10, just went 4-2 on the trip. Should be good conversation with Billy, with Mully and Haw this morning. Do you
remember when we talked about Dan Hurley last week?
I do.
And we as a show, Shane wasn't interested, but we watched the 60 Minutes piece on Dan Hurley. And then you figure out, what? Don't look at me like, I'm just messing with you, kid.
Are you kidding me? Stop celebrating!
That part.
Too busy winning the Irish Open, damn it.
Damn right you were. And you walk away going, he's got a couple national championships, and his team, I think, actually was good enough to be a national championship contender this year. They lost.
I don't think so. I don't think the talent was there. I think he actually did a pretty remarkable job in the back half of the season. And they had that Florida game won the other day, in large part due to some of his coaching that has gone on. But anyway.
But that's what I mean. Like, they were right there with one of the best teams in the tournament. But the thing about college basketball is that it's celebrated. The personalities, that's what's selling the game.
Well, the coaches have always been the biggest stars, but the nature of their stardom has changed. Like, you know, back in the day, Dean Smith and Wooden and others were the stars, and they tried to keep players' exuberance under wraps in some way, and you'd have the coaches talking about the majesty of the program and the sanctity of the program. Now with NIL and people transferring from year to year, like, the nature of it has changed, but the coaches are still the biggest stars. I mean, nobody can name a player on McNeese, but everybody knows about Will Wade after this tournament.
Well, and they know about Amir Khan, the manager of the team who's got NIL money, and he's got the boombox.
For sure, but I don't think anybody can – most people can't name a player on Drake, but they're hip to Ben McCollum now shifting from Drake to Iowa and having this be about him. So I think the coaches are still the stars – but it's definitely changed a little bit. In terms of, like, Hurley and some of these narcissists like you're talking about, they're both. And some of them are both interesting and loathsome. They are both connective with their players and super selfish and maniacal on their own. Like, they are a messed up species, and sometimes you get both.
So let's hear a little bit of both from Hurley. This was Hurley talking with Tracy Wolfson.
Coach, I could see the emotions on your face. I know this was a difficult one. You guys had them. You fought so hard, mucked it up. You said you made it a Big East game.
Yeah.
What happened down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, they showed their quality. I mean, you know, I thought we played with tremendous honor. I thought we played with the heart of a championship program and a program that's gone back to back. And, you know, for a team to, you know, to end, you know, what we really wanted to do, they were going to have to put us down. And, you know, obviously a worthy opponent like that, there's honor in the way we went out.
You mentioned that tournament streak, what you guys have been able to do. What did you tell your team in there?
Just love them. I mean, just love them. You know, this year has been a real battle. We've battled, and you know, we've had to battle our own battle and battle, and you know, at times, you know, I don't think we liked each other a whole lot. But some of the things we had to go through together. But I don't think I'll ever love a team more than how hard they fought for what we were trying to accomplish and for the honor they played with today.
Appreciate the time, Coach.
So, Spiegs, I'm watching that, and I'm like, look at him. Look at the growth. Look at this man understanding that the journey was actually okay, that you didn't need a destination, the idea of the honorable loss. All of this stuff, Speed.
He's still sad about the destination being what it ended up being, but he's got some acceptance there. He's definitely in the acceptance place, and he's giving voice to the beautiful connectivity he clearly has with his players.
But then a few minutes later, video surfaces of Coach Hurley in the tunnel not being happy with the way that game ended.
That's him talking to the next team, saying he hopes the refs don't F you like they did us.
So
he's sitting. Yeah, go ahead.
Have you seen the epilogue to this?
Oh, yeah. They tried to shut down the news organization, tried to shut down the TV station.
Yeah.
And bully them away from using the tape. That didn't go well.
The SID went after the reporter. And the reporter's like, what do you... Like, this wasn't in the locker room. This was on the court and in the tunnel. Yeah, like, what are we doing?
Horrendous look. I mean, ridiculous, bullying kind of lame-ass look by UConn. Here's the thing about Danny, though. That tape is from before he talks to Tracy Wolfson.
Agreed.
So he is angry. He is resentful. He's looking for a target of who to be angry at. He hasn't settled himself, hasn't talked to his players. He's letting the vitriol flow and blaming the refs. And he eventually, with the help of some calm, and maybe Gino Orianna called him, I don't know. But he finds that moment in the locker room to talk to the players and realizes, well, I got to accept it. So he's going through his processes, man. It's like, I understand.
I hope he gets
there. But he did. He did. I understand that. That's the same guy. Like in that 60 Minutes profile when he showed you downstairs, showed you his meditation room with the beautiful.
I have an affinity for superheroes. I wear the socks. I wear the underwear.
I mean, like he's got the room where he's trying to find the zen down there so he doesn't turn into the raging a-hole. I can relate to that, man. That is a lot of us trying to find it, and it's an ongoing process every day.
You know I can relate. speaking of which, here's a man that I have held a grudge against for a long time, and guess what? He's deserved it. Mick Cronin is the worst.
I know you. So much has been made about you guys going east. You just came back from a prolonged East Coast trip. I'm wondering, have you seen anything from the teams that have to come out here and stay out here? Is there any kind of balance with that in terms of the wear and tear and just what you've seen on the court?
Wear and tear on them?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Please tell me that's a joke.
Is it even comparable is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Have you ever looked at the NBA stats and what the gamblers and all those people do on West versus East? Talk to Eric Musselman, ask him that question, who coached in the NBA. Good luck, West, going East. We have to go back four times. Oh, the Big Ten teams get to come to Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees one time a year. They don't even have to switch hotels. We're 12 miles apart. Are you kidding me? Please tell me you're kidding me. Is this a plan? Is this a planted question? I mean, you cannot be serious with that. And meanwhile, we've seen the Eiffel Tower, or we've seen the Statue of Liberty twice in the last 3 weeks while we were landing. You can't possibly stop. I'm going to eat, man. You can't. I mean, he's asked me to feel sorry because Iowa had to come to L.A. for a few days. You can't be serious. You know how much people vacation here? Trust me. I got a lot of friends. I have to tell them, no, I'm focused. Everybody from back in Cincinnati wants to come out here all the time. I have to ration them out, okay? Nobody wants to be back there. How's the weather in Iowa City? Come on. Kidding me? You got comedians in the mix.
Wow.
See?
That's a bad guy, man.
He really, because it's not like the reporter was asking a legitimate question on what his viewpoint was on it. And he just rips the guy for no reason.
And we've seen the Eiffel Tower, or we've seen the Statue of Liberty twice.
Look for the chains by her right foot.
I shouldn't say bad guy. You're
right.
I don't know him well enough.
You got to know him real well in that soundbite.
Well, I really didn't like him right there. That was a bad moment right
there.
He's
going after all the time.
You're going after a reporter, man.
And Speaks, here's the thing. We didn't even play the part where he then complained about the flight that his team is taking. He hates the plane that they're flying on. He took a shot at the airline that's a partner with UCLA in his post-game press conference.
Man.
He's the worst.
That's ugly. That's ugly.
So let me do a little bit of redemption here, okay? I am a Coach Cal guy. I think that he is a lovable rogue. And I think that he is the one guy, the one big-name guy that instead of running away from it, has figured out how to embrace all of the changes that college basketball has gone through over the last 20 years. This was him talking about his players and clearly speaking to future players about NIL.
I mean, I keep reminding them how much you've overcome. You guys think I'm winning and losing. You understand these kids like have a piano on their back. That it's never been this way in all my years of coaching. Because NIL, if a kid got money, it's just more weight. And now the families are more involved than they've ever been. Why? NIL. So now all of a sudden they got the people around them. They got the piano on their back. They miss a shot. Now social media tees off on you. Are you really looking at that stuff? I mean, for them to do what they did and then we're still playing... Like I said prior to the game, how about we give ourselves a chance to make some magic?
Man, that is a real a dude who tries hard to understand what his players are dealing with, what the young men are dealing with. It makes me think about the Coleman Hawkins video, the transfer from Illinois who went to Kansas State and broke down crying after they lost in their conference tournament. And he said, I feel like I did a poor job of letting people talk about me because he got all this NIL criticism. Like there's a level of professionalism that comes along with legit NIL money and transfers that so many of these guys are, that it's a different ask than it used to be. And Cal is obviously keeping up with the emotional side of that.
Speaks, I think if you hear all three of those cuts, if you're a recruit and you hear all three of those cuts, you might find something in there from Danny Hurley where you like, I like how passionate he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can put up with how passionate he is because he wants to win. And you hear Coach Cal and you're like, God, I want to play for that guy. That guy gets me. There's nothing you heard that says I want to play for Mick Cronin.
You got comedians in the mix.
I hate that guy.
Nothing from Cronin. I'm good with Hurley, though. The more we've dissected, the more I've dug in. I get it, man. That's a dude who tries to get his anger and his resentment under wraps and is a freaking hell of a basketball coach. A little bit of drama, that's for sure, but I'm good with him.
Sean King takes a victory lap on his QB thoughts next here on The Score.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almased, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almased has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almased with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yes, let's take a look at the quarterback position, and let's talk about what this offense might be able to look like with a guy who has coached quarterbacks, who has been a quarterback, and is a friend of ours. Sean King is outstanding, and I think there are a lot of Score listeners would be like, wait a minute, I remember the draft last year. And I remember Sean King being like, hey, you know who's really, really good? The other guy, Jaden Daniels, he's really good. And a lot of people had to come around and go, man, Sean might have been right about all of this stuff. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me, man. The weather's finally turning into spring, summer weather in Vegas, so all is well on the West Coast.
We will see you in a couple of days. We will be there. In fact, we're getting out there tomorrow and cannot wait to be out there with our friends from Circa. But look, I loved Lawrence's intro. Lawrence Holmes' intro, Sean, was loving. It was deferential. It was solid. But it makes me, are you getting painted as a Jaden Daniels was good and Caleb Williams was bad guy in retrospect? Because it's not one or the other. Like, Caleb had a lot of good moments, we thought. And as we look forward, just want to make sure that it's not a binary one good, the other bad situation in your mind these days. Or is it?
Well, truth doesn't have emotions. And last year, to quote myself exactly when I came on the wonderful Score radio station, I said, if you know what you're looking at, it's impossible to have Caleb Williams rated higher on your draft board than Jaden Daniels. That was my exact form that I expressed my opinion in, because the college tape wasn't close. I also said Brian Thomas was the best receiver in last year's draft. Obviously, Ryan Poles doesn't listen to me. He drafted Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze instead of Jaden Daniels and Brian Thomas. But that's the past. There's a new regime in town. I'm not a person that kicks organizations when they're down. I also say that I thought duplicating the 7 wins from 2023 was the ceiling for this past year's Bears team. I was wrong. They only got the 5 wins. But it's a new season. It's a new regime. So I'm ready to move forward. I don't want to get beat up again in the DMs unless I'm right and the fans disagree with me again.
All right, so let's talk about what you did see from Caleb. How would you assess his rookie season, knowing that it's now going to be a different coach and a different offense? But how did you think he did with some of the problems that this organization had?
So, you can't look at a rookie quarterback in a vacuum. First of all, I'm very, very patient with their development and growth. I don't hold all rookie quarterbacks beholden to the season that Jaden had or the season C.J. Stroud had last year, because they all aren't going to go into situations where everything organically comes together. However, the things that I said Caleb would struggle with, he struggled with. When you played quarterback and had success, he won a Heisman at USC. USC won a lot of games. Playing the game a certain way, it's very hard to break those habits at the next level until they fail. Shedeur Sanders is going to have that same learning curve. A lot of the things Caleb did to be successful in college, if you watch Shedeur's tape, he's not as talented as Caleb, but he plays the position the same way. I think he's going to have a huge learning curve. The issue this year will be, is Caleb now ready to submit? Remember now, this was a Heisman winner. Dad was talking about whoever drafted him had to give him a percentage of ownership in the team. So we can't forget what the reality was. Now that he's been humbled, now that he has a offensive-minded guy coming in, but we don't know if Ben Johnson's a good head coach. We don't know if Aaron Glenn's a head coach. We don't know if Kellen Moore is a head coach or Schottenheimer in Dallas. We're going to have to wait and see. But Ben is coming from a successful organization that played offensive football at a high level. Is Caleb willing to submit and do things the right way fundamentally from start to finish? Because that's what's going to create consistency.
Man, that's great stuff from Sean King, because a lot of those kind of conversations last year and in preseason got mixed in with stuff like he cried to his mom, which shouldn't matter, and the nails, which shouldn't matter, but, and they don't, but submitting to whatever the coaches say does matter. And the truth is, he had bad coaches last year, and the whole organization did a bad job in terms of not giving him really strong, well thought out offensive processes from offensive minds. He does have that now. So I think you're on point with this, Sean. I wonder, you think they're going to try to mess with his footwork? Try to mess with anything mechanically? Like try to mess with any of the fundamentals that perhaps they didn't mess with last year under different coaches?
I say fundamentals, footwork is just talking about. He acts footwork. He throws the ball good, at least the majority of the time.
All right, let's put Sean on hold, and then we'll hopefully his cell will clear up.
You agree, Lawrence, on the difference between like talking about submit to the coaches and
yes,
the philosophy
very much so.
Versus like the personal stuff, which
yeah,
like,
I don't care about that at all.
No, but some people like mixed all that in and it got muddy.
All right, so let's go back to this, Sean. We missed what you said. What did you think of Caleb's footwork?
I don't think he has bad fundamentals from a footwork standpoint. He throws the ball with a good base. The release point is pretty consistent. I think he struggles at times to see in-breaking routes that are in between the hashes. So a lot of times you don't see him throwing the ball with anticipation from that 12 to 20-yard in-breaking area in the middle of the field. That can be improved. The problem is mentally he's so used to creating explosive plays by extending the play that it gets him into trouble. So when you put him behind what last year was a below-average offensive line, and then his predisposition with trying to create explosive plays, then you get a lot of negative yardage plays. So the first thing I'm going to do, if I'm coaching him, and I think the old Ohio State coach is the quarterback. I mean, Ohio State quarterback is the quarterback coach here, right? JT Barrett?
Yes.
Is that who it is? So the first thing I'm going to do if I'm JT is I'm going to tell Caleb, listen, you never go broke taking a profit. We're going to surround you with great personnel. I'm going to pull up Jared Goff film and show Caleb how many yards were produced by just throwing the ball on time to Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm drawing a blank on the other running back, the one that was in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Detroit. Montgomery. All right, that's the first cut up that I'm going to show Caleb. Jared throwing the ball to the check down on time in rhythm. And all the production that came from that. Because that's where the remake of Caleb has to begin.
Sean, when it comes to what Ben Johnson and Jared Goff have been successful with, there was a lot of play action in what it is that they do. How do you work with a quarterback who's not used to that? In Caleb's career, there's been a lot of shotgun, there's been a lot of pistol. How do you work with them to get comfortable with the idea of turning their back to the defense?
Reps. He's got to get reps. He's got to get a lot of reps. And You know, this is another part of submission. I know you're used to being in the shotgun. I know you're used to running a lot of zone read stuff. We had a lot of success in Detroit under center, traditional run game. As you mentioned, explosive plays through play action off of our elite run package, whatever that might be, gap scheme, 1 week outside zone. We need you to get comfortable being under center. That's a process. That takes reps. That's the only way he's going to get comfortable with it. Now, the issue will be Jared Goff is taller in stature than Caleb. Can Caleb effectively throw the three-step game from under center? And that's something Ben Johnson is going to have to find out, you know, as they get into OTAs, mini camps, and so forth and so on.
That's why they spent a huge pile of money on the middle of that offensive line, man. So he can go back.
If Dalvin and Jackson are healthy, then they upgrade it significantly.
Yeah, and we know that Tooney is an upgrade. So yeah, the idea of him being able to take three steps and stand there and feel good about it. Lawrence brought up these numbers from last week from Warren Sharp in terms of the accuracy in the NFL on go routes in 2024. And Caleb Williams was 29th out of 31 qualified quarterbacks on go routes. So that's on deep balls. And that makes sense to us from watching. Like, why would a young quarterback be inaccurate on go routes? And for the record, it's not like Jaden Daniels was lighting the world on fire. He was 20th out of 31, just for the record.
I think with a lot of these young quarterbacks, they haven't been trained to how to throw a go route properly. You know, when I coached quarterbacks, I told them from day one, 100% of the balls thrown down the field that are overthrown or thrown out of bounds are incomplete. And it seems simple, it seems basic, but how many of those deep balls did Bears fans see where guys got a step and Caleb overthrew it by 3 yards? Bounce. You've got to mentally calibrate your thought process to understand how to throw the ball down the field with different arc, with different velocity, with different elevation, depending on what the route is and what the cover is. But the ultimate goal at quarterback is to throw catchable balls downfield. Allow your receivers, allow DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, who we saw do it a bunch at Washington. Go back and look at Rome Odunze's Washington highlight tape. How many of those deep balls are contested? Catches, because Penix gave him an opportunity to do what? Catch the football. And that's where you start. Caleb, don't overthrow it. Don't throw it out of bounds. 100% of those are going to be incomplete. You start right there, and you'll start to see those receivers start to make the plays that we know they're capable of making because now they have balls that are actually in their catch radius.
When you watched Detroit's offense last year or throughout Johnson's tenure in Detroit, what stands out to you as something that you expect to see with the Bears?
No matter what the presentation looked like, they were always a power run team. They were going to move the line of scrimmage. They were going to get Montgomery to make the hard runs. They were going to bring Gibbs in to make people miss in space. And they were going to create explosive plays through old school, hard nose running the football. Now, do the Bears have that talent at running back currently? I'm not sure. I would lean towards no. I think one of the other things that made Detroit really good is they were really good at multiple positions. So I'm going to transition into this. If I'm the Bears at 10 and Tyler Warren from Penn State is available, based on what they did on the offensive and defensive line, I'd have to take a long look at taking the Penn State tight end.
Yeah, man. LaPorta was a game changer for Detroit at tight end. So we've been talking about Tyler Warren, and I love the description of that Detroit Lions offense as a power running game, no matter what it looked like, how it was disguised. Hey, Sean, go back on your career for a minute. Did you have to submit in Tampa? Like, did you, after Tulane, were you a playmaker at Tulane, and then you get to Tampa and you got to, like, just do whatever you got to do and hand the ball off as much as you have to, that kind of thing?
Yeah, and it really stunted my growth, and it got me benched, and I'm still frustrated about it today. So way to ruin the rest of my day, by the way. But I came in a completely different NFL. We just had a conversation about will Ben Johnson adjust his system to fit Caleb, who's been a shotgun-centric quarterback. Let me tell you how old school the NFL was when I got in 99.
Okay.
The only time you ever were in shotgun was 2-minute offense, end of the half or end of the game. Think about it. Everything else was under center. It was a fullback tight end. So did I have to submit? I didn't have a choice. I didn't realize I was submitting until Coach Duff told me and said they signed Brad Johnson. I still wish I'd have phone up that day.
You still ended up with a ring, though.
Yeah, but I wasn't a starter. So it's levels to when you're at the bar with the homies. You know how Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco got like a show together, but Shannon's got a gold jacket that he got. I think first ballot. I think Ocho was like second or third. You know, it's levels to this stuff.
Oh, of course there is. By the way, I still think Bert Emanuel caught that ball, just for the record.
Hey, me too, man. I'm trying to figure out, if you want to talk about, like, how, you know what? Did you just plan to make my day terrible? How the hell is it the
Bert Emanuel catch? This is what he does, man. I'm sorry, Sean.
They did a whole documentary on the Bert Emanuel catch. Go look at it. And I didn't even get interviewed. Oh, like, I was irrelevant in the play.
He threw the damn ball. He threw the damn ball and changed the league. I'm on your side, Sean.
I should have wrote a book. Hey, I'm coming in person when you guys get out here. I know I've been saying it the last couple of years. I haven't made it over there. Book me for one of the days. I'm coming. I want to see you guys. I miss y'all.
All right, come through, Sean. We appreciate you. Sean K.
All right, man. Love y'all. Go Bears.
See? Everyone mad at Sean. He's out here trying to tell you how the Bears can get better. By the way, I saw Jaden Daniels, and this is a big story over the last 24 hours. Jaden Daniels was talking with Juju Watkins a couple days ago. You know, his mom has been ever present, and you saw her sitting in between the two. I'm sick over Juju Watkins getting hurt, man. Like
tore her ACL in the NCAA championship game, and she's an incredible athlete, incredible player.
I hope that she takes the time and comes back to USC. I think she's still eligible. Comes back to USC and gets herself right, like AZ Fudd is doing with UConn, where now she's going to stick around UConn, and she was a top 10 WNBA pick. So. It broke my heart to see Juju Watkins out there on the floor screaming in agony yesterday. So hopefully she will have a speedy recovery and be one of the more electric players in next year's tournament if she can make it back in time. We'll take a break and land the plane next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right?
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on The Score.
Programming note, tomorrow we are going to be on the air at 10 a.m. The midday show was nice enough to switch with us, so Layla and Marshall will handle the afternoon show tomorrow.
Nice enough to switch, but mean enough to complain about it for the last week and a half.
Oh, is that what's been going
on? Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it definitely
is. Well, Marshall's got the TV job now. Like, he's working over Channel 7. You could actually, I think, check him out in the 6 o'clock. He will be doing sports over on Channel 7.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, afternoons is where the big dogs come to eat. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I guess that's the morning now that, because we call Mully the big dog.
We do?
Well, we used to, anyway. I mean, we can do whatever we want.
I didn't know that that was one of his nicknames. I just thought it was just Mully.
I think Tanny threw that out there.
But that's a real hipster, like you got to be a real P1 to know that we refer to Mully as the big dog. It's been a while since we referred to him that. Obviously, been since at least September since we've said it. So does it continue to be his nickname if we haven't said it since September?
The big dog and Mr. David?
Sounds good to me.
That's a good show.
That is a good show.
The last time I called him big dog, he took my sandwich out of the fridge and spit in it. So I don't call him that anymore.
That
seems unnecessarily feisty.
Yeah, I
want to reclaim it. Lawrence, you feel me, though. Afternoon's where the big dogs come to eat. So if Marshall and Layla are complaining, they need to reframe that. They need a psychological reframing of getting to do afternoons for a day.
Well, they're going to have a fun time doing it. We're going to have a fun time, too, because then it allows you guys to probably make your flight.
We'll see, dude.
Yeah, we're working through that, too, where, like, we might be in the missing three men formation by the time transition comes around.
Studs is going to be thrilled when we say, hey, you remember how you're switching? Well, you're actually going to come in a segment earlier than you thought. So you enjoy that, Lawrence. I want you to have fun with that tomorrow.
I'll come in a segment earlier.
I'll hold it down and for us on afternoons, in the afternoons, because it'll be a little bit easier for me to get where I'm going than where you guys are going. But where we end up is Stadium Swim at Circus Sports for our Thursday and Friday show. And I just got a text from Sean. He's definitely coming by to bother us.
Good.
Which is great.
It's because I brought up Bert Emanuel. He's going to come by and yell at me in person.
He's going to come by and yell at you and show you the documentary and all that other stuff.
He's going to make me watch the whole documentary that he's not in just to prove he's not in it. I believe you, Sean.
Thanks to Alex Dragovich, who was great, Jason Leisure, and Sean King, our guests on the show. We had a lot of fun. There's more Bulls stuff for us to discuss as they get ready for that game against the Lakers on Thursday night. We will be doing that tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. on midday so that we can make our flights and make it out to Circa.
We will also have our friend Joe Buck on the show tomorrow in advance of his opening day duties with ESPN doing MLB. And we got to talk a little opening day around MLB. A couple national things I want your thoughts on and some Cubs and White Sox contextualizing tomorrow as well.
I think it's a really good idea for Shane and Tanny and my partner, Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thanks so much for the love and support that you show this show on the daily. We will try to repay that favor tomorrow at 10 a.m. That's right, 10 to 2 on the score.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, you know, all fun and games, but obviously it hasn't turned out that way. And if I had offended anybody, it was not the case. It was just friends having fun. And as I said, if I offended anybody in any way, shape, or form, I'm sorry.